I'm going to get really strategic with myself. I'm going to get really competitive with myself, mm-hmm. or I'm going to leverage my strengths for me. When I started from that standpoint for that first year, it laid the foundation so I could leverage my strengths for my clients. I wasn't at a point of readiness yet. And I think it's important to recognize if you're not at a point of readiness to jump ship from your day job or to go out against the competition, fine.
This is the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 37.
Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Dare Nelson, and I am so excited that you're here today. I'm super excited about our guest. Our guest is actually a client who has become a friend as well. Now, I don't know if you all have friendships with your clients or if you have rules against that. And it can be a dicey little thing, can't it? But what I love is that our professional relationship and our personal relationship has such amazing boundaries in it that we can have both. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. You can have it all. And so my relationship with Kate and vice versa, as well as Kate's story, is really, really evidence of that. So without further ado, our guest today is Kate DeLeo. She is an incredible branding expert. She's a tenacious actualizer who enables organizations of all sizes to realize their vision. Kate believes that business is a conversation and a relationship, not a transaction. Therefore, effective branding should create compelling common ground with your customers. Thus, when crystallizing a client's brand story or implementing a client's brand clout, Kate is passionately driven to help companies authentically reach their audience and be raised above the competition. What's really great, so Kate has actually done a whole bunch of branding work for me personally, so I can attest to her abilities. The ability of Kate to take my words and to translate them authentically into something that will connect with the audience is second to none. So I'm super excited to introduce you to Kate DeLeo. Kate, thank you for taking the time out and being a guest here on the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. How are you today?
Thank you. I am great. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So fill in a little bit of the gaps. We know you are extremely talented at branding and really pulling out the story that connects. But how did you arrive here?
Well, thank you, first of all. So I'm an accidental brand strategist. I find that, and a lot of my clients say the same thing, that they somehow accidentally arrived where they were over the course of a decade or so. And what I mean by that is my journey started about 13 years ago. I graduated when the market crashed. I'm a millennial. I'm 34 years old. And when the market crashed, I recognized very quickly that I needed to find a job that I could make a living with. And so I dove right into doing sales and marketing.
And what was your degree in?
Anthropology. Oh, anthropology, so cool. In Spanish. So I actually was in a position where I was going to be starting my PhD program. I really had a passion for teaching and educating, and I had a couple professors very specifically look me in the eye when the market started to tank, and they said, don't do it. You just don't know what you're going to be able to do coming out of this in the anthropology field, and so we highly recommend that you hit the pause button and focus on paying down your debt. Probably some of the best advice I ever got.
Yeah. So, well, and anthropology is all about humans, right?
It is.
Like, and what's interesting is how applicable that is to what you do now, right?
It's fascinating. Yeah. Would I have ever thought that my degree would pull into the work that I do now? No. I mean, I graduated, I decided to hit the pause button. I dove into doing sales and marketing work for an IT training organization, fell in love with marketing to the point where a former colleague of mine called me up and she said, God, you really like this marketing stuff. Can we recruit you to come on over and run, you know, website and branding and marketing work for this new agency? And of course I said yes. And so this was around 2000, 2010-2011, which was kind of what I consider to be the glory days of digital marketing, mm-hmm. everything just exploded in the marketplace. And so here I am in my mid-20s, and it was kind of the best trial by fire experience I ever had, where you had to do everything. So I was running website projects, email marketing, SEO, pay-per-click, social media, you name it, I did it. And all the while, I was starting to do branding work for people on the side. And I kind of developed this side hustle of going, yeah, I really like this branding thing. I really love this messaging thing. So fast forward, one of my clients ended up recruiting me over to run their marketing internally for the organization. And 2018 rolled around. And by that point, I had been doing branding and marketing work actually as a side hustle outside of all of my day jobs for almost 10 years at that point. Mm-hmm. And fell in love with it and was starting to hit this tipping point where people were asking for more, and I was getting referrals and I was getting leads, and I was sitting there going, gosh, why do I not make my side hustle my official hustle? And it was kind of a light bulb moment for me. And so I made the decision right there that I was going to work my way out of my day job and actually go out on my own. And so I did just that. I gave myself one full year, and I stepped fully into being a full-time brand strategist with my company in April 2019.
Awesome. How was that decision for you? For so many people, right, that the decision to go solo is such a really scary one, right? It's you are taking on a whole bunch of risk, and mm-hmm. you know, we are in the midst of COVID right now, where right. you know, salaried positions weren't really as safe as everyone thought they were, right? But the feeling about them is that you have job stability, that it's safe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so to sort of move over into doing completely solo work, right, where you are the only one in charge of your revenue, what, you gave yourself a year to make that transition. What were your sort of rules or your benchmarks in order to go, okay, I am ready to put in my 2 weeks notice?
That's a really good question. So, the reason I gave myself a year, by the way, I think it's really important to call out that if you are actually considering becoming the full-time entrepreneur and you've got this passion project or a side hustle currently, or maybe just this really good idea, and actually I guide a lot of my clients on this, because sometimes I have people come to me to do branding and they just have a concept and they have no idea where to start. Mm-hmm. So I decided I was going to practice what I preached, and I thought, okay, number one, I need to spend a solid 90 days building my brand from a message, visual standpoint, get a website together, some of those things. And at the same time, continue to build my work, mm-hmm. continue to build my intellectual property, continue to build work with clients. I really felt in that first year that if I could take a look at this from just four different 90-day chunks and kind of segment the work that way, that I was going to have a much better capability of actually working my way out of my day job. So quarter one, or the first 90 days, I said, I have to build my message. I have to build my brand. I've got to build some of the main components so I can actually market my services. And that was really important for me, because everything, and I teach this, starts with your message. If you don't have it down and you're out there trying to hustle and get clients, it's probably going to feel like you're throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping that something sticks. So I thought, get the message down, get the brand materials done. Quarter two was really critical for me to develop my sales strategy. So I still had some clients, I had some of these referrals, but then I thought to myself, I can't rely on referrals. If I'm going to make this a business, I need to go ask some smart people, how do you go and do this full time? Where are you showing up? Who are you talking to? What are the ways in which you have found that if you're selling, especially let's say like a consulting service, mm-hmm. which a lot of entrepreneurs do, how do you bring in revenue on a consistent basis? That's not like a onesie twosie thing. Mm-hmm. So I had to nail down a sales strategy that worked for me. Quarter three, I had to start actually building my pipeline. So my last two quarters were critical, where I made the commitment that, boy, I better be hitting the gas pedal here and starting to actually bring in more and more work to begin to match my actual salary.
Yeah.
So between 0 and 365 days, I did. I matched my salary to be able to exit.
Yeah. And so that was your sort of threshold was,
absolutely,
I'm going to match my salary. I think that's really great for people just to have, and you know, we should bring up your StrengthsFinder results, right?
Sure.
So your top five are achiever, activator. So you're a marathoner and a sprinter. Communication, which goes to your ability to tell stories, competition, and strategic. Yes. We'll probably talk about some of your 6 through 10 as well. But you know, competition is especially great at setting benchmarks and then, yes, and then sort of running after them, right? And so you're really good at this. And I think, you know, for people listening to learn, what are the benchmarks I need to set? And some of them are going to resonate and some of them are not. But it's also great to know, what are the benchmarks you set so that you knew, this is the level of risk I'm willing to take, and and now I'm ready to jump forward. So yeah, I think that's so helpful for people to hear. Look, you didn't just decide one day I'm going to do this, and the next day you put in your notice. This does take some substantial time, and it takes commitment. And
it does.
I'm just going to go ahead and guess that there were some down days in there where am I ever going to actually reach this 1 year goal of mine?
Absolutely. And I think a couple important nuances to this too is people assume that when you have a strength of competition that you're competitive with everybody else. So for me, I'm actually highly driven to be competitive with myself.
Yes.
So I knew that about myself. And if that is a strength that you have, leverage that to get really excited about hitting your goals for you.
Yes.
So I had to make the decision that this had nothing to do with anybody else around me. If my business is for me. It is not to try and beat everybody else out there.
Yeah.
What I recognize had to be true for me to be successful as an entrepreneur is, do I ultimately want to be raised above the competition in the marketplace? Sure. Because when you do that, you win work. And my job is to help people win work, right? So brand message equals winning work. That's my whole goal with my business. However, I couldn't start from the mindset of going, it's all about me beating everybody else.
Right. Because you can easily jump into compare and despair.
Correct.
I teach this for people with high competition all the time. The only person that you should be in competition truly with is yourself. Where's the benchmark for me to yesterday versus today? And then bringing in how are we winning? And just in our conversations, Kate, as you've worked with me and my brand, that conversation has come up repeatedly. All right, Alyssa, how are we going to win? How are we going to, you know, meet this mark or, you know, this deadline, right? So it's definitely a we moving forward. And it's such a healthy way of bringing your competition to a place where it is healthy, where it's serving you, where it's serving others, where it's serving the community at whole.
Yeah, I think you're completely spot on. And I leverage my competition with my clients in that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's really profound to recognize a couple of things. When you focus inward as you're starting your entrepreneurial journey or you're planning for that, and you decide, I'm going to get really strategic with myself, I'm going to get really competitive with myself, or I'm going to leverage my strengths for me.
Yeah.
When I started from that standpoint for that first year, it laid the foundation so I could leverage my strengths for my clients. I wasn't at a point of readiness yet. And I think it's important to recognize if you're not at a point of readiness to jump ship from your day job, or to go out against the competition, fine, great, good.
Yeah. That doesn't make you a loser.
Okay.
That's
actually
right.
Not. Mm-hmm. No, and I'll tell you what was really weird is because I made the determination simply this, I'm just going to try and build the best work that I possibly, Kate, can do. I didn't even know I was beating out the competition. It wasn't until about 6 months in, Alyssa, after I had left my day job, where I was starting to get feedback from clients, partners, and competition. Wow, what you do is really unique. It went from, I'm just in my little zone doing my thing and doing good work for clients that I feel great about, to all of a sudden, I had competitors call me and say, can you come in and run your process for our clients? When we focus our strengths on us, on ourselves, and what we can do for building our business versus how do I leverage that to take out the competition?
That's right.
The competition will notice. But it will be organic and it will be done in a way in which they will start to recognize this person is different and we can appreciate that and value that. And your clientele will notice that.
Right. And what's great about not going out there to try to beat the competition is now you're trying to outpace them, which doesn't set you apart. No. When you really own, like, these are my superpowers, this is what I really do well, this is my process, this is, you know, et cetera. That's what people start to really notice, because you're not just trying to be better. You're trying to be different. And, you know, not that any amount of just being different is necessarily helpful for your brand and for your marketing, but boy, it can be a true differentiator.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. So what else is it that makes you unique as a branding expert?
Well, I always joke, by the way, this is so funny. So whenever I get on a call, because I coach with you and I learned how to leverage strengths for my business and my personal life, which I love your approach, because I think when you say that somebody can have it all, really, when you understand your strengths, you recognize how that infiltrates every area of your life. I'm a single mom. I went through divorce in the last year. I've got a 5-year-old daughter. And it wasn't until working with you where I started to go, oh my gosh, my strengths can actually be leveraged for health, for wellness, for personal, for finances, for parenting, for all of the stuff that's really important to me. And what I think makes me unique, and I joke with my clients, because on every call, I actually tell them my strengths now. I said, so here are my strengths. And then they immediately start laughing, because I say, well, if you catch me on a bad day where I haven't slept or haven't been caffeinated, I'm a bit of a hot mess. And they all die laughing, because I go, so here's the thing. I know my strengths. I also know what it looks like when maybe I'm not showing up running on all cylinders. So my commitment to you is to show up running on all cylinders, meaning we're going to set the tone. We're going to set the intention. We're going to probably do these sessions in the morning before Kate's brain shuts down for the afternoon. But what I've recognized with my strengths and what makes me unique as a brand strategist is a couple things. I stay in my lane.
Yeah.
Is one of the biggest things. When I started my business, I had wanted to kind of be a jack of all trades. And what I recognized is I can't produce top-notch work if I'm being pulled in 1,000 directions. And so when I say that I stay in my lane, I'm really, really, really good at only doing brand strategy.
Boy, does that
really
take
okay
discipline.
With that.
Yeah, that takes a lot of discipline, because because you are talented, and you are good at a lot of things. And so when someone says, well, can you do this or can you do that? You know, when you're at that point where you're not replacing 100% of your income, right?
Right.
It's hard to turn that down and say, you know, no, I'm going to do this over here. But to your point, you know, if you are a jack of all trades, then you're a master of none, right? I mean, it's a saying for a reason.
It is.
But it takes discipline to stay in that lane. And I think, you know, that's something to be really commended, to really acknowledge you for. Because that's not an easy decision to make.
No, it's not. But what I recognized is actually the beginning of the year happened, and I had previously been building websites for clients and doing some other things, right? So I've been a developer for a decade. And cool, great. And I thought, oh, of course, this is going to be a second revenue stream. And so the tendency, of course, as an entrepreneur, is you go, great, I'm going to make money in multiple areas. And I wanted like 15 products and services. Do you know how hard it is to sell 15 products and services? It's absolutely stupid. So I decided this isn't working. I'm not hitting my revenue goals that I want to be hitting. What would happen if I fired myself from half of my business and just honed in on brand strategy? Mm-hmm. When I made that decision, my revenue month over month has more than doubled. Yeah. More than doubled month over month. Well, how does that work? Because you could say to yourself, well, a website project costs far more than a brand strategy project. So how does that work? It does a couple things. It frees you up mentally and emotionally to stay in your expertise. It allows you to get excited about getting so good at talking about and operating on one area.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's about that zone of genius, right?
Yes.
Your zone of genius not only is something you do well, but that makes you buzz.
So it's interesting. It's been a really important lesson, because I'd heard this from a couple coaches for a long time, right? Stay in your lane, stay in your lane. And being stubborn in the competition, I'm like, I want to conquer everything. Okay. So I had to pivot that mindset a little bit. I hate the word pivot, but I pivoted it a little bit. And I thought, if I can get competitive enough to stay in my lane of just doing branding, what would happen to my business and my well-being? And a couple things happened. Wow, my stress went down. Wow, my revenue increased. Wow, I was having way more fun doing the work.
And you were working less. You got some really great boundaries around your work hours where you actually were able to sign off at the end of the day and be like, oh, I'm done. I can go spend some time with my daughter.
Done at 4 o'clock every day. So it was really important for me to go, I need to leverage my strength to get to work smarter, not harder. And my tendencies, if I'm on a bad day, quote unquote, in my strengths, would be to work harder, not smarter. Yeah. And I decided, oh, I can't keep doing this because this is going to suck me dry. My job as an entrepreneur is to win work. I got to keep the wheels on the bus. And the only way I'm going to keep the wheels on the bus by bringing in a revenue that matched what I was making in my salary is to work smarter, not harder. What I also found, though, is clients got way better outcomes for me. And I think that's really important. I started, my referral business went through the roof. Mm-hmm. So because I wasn't getting pulled in so many directions, I was able to actually stay very, very crystallized and focused on what I did best, saving my genius. And I will say this really candidly, it got me far more excited where I was just simply being authentic and talking about all things brand, like Alyssa completely geeking out on brand, right? Mm-hmm. And people noticed it. And people started going, you're really, you love this, don't you?
Yeah, I want to talk to you about this. They see your passion come through.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So Kate, you know, every business owner has challenges that they face, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe that one of the most courageous and powerful ways to not only connect with others, but to take yourself to that next level is to be vulnerable and share those challenges so that you can A, get out of them faster, right. get through right. them faster, but I'll also help people to see that you're human. You know, I find for me when I'm vulnerable and I share, yeah, you know, like not on, I don't have it all together on all days. No. People are like, oh, okay, I feel safe sharing that I don't either, right? So, you know, it's an important part of this podcast for sure is sharing a challenge that, you know, doesn't just go to your hero's story, like, oh, I had a challenge then and now I'm great. But what is a challenge that you're facing right now?
So with COVID-19, what I know to be true is we are all exhausted. And everybody I talk to, and I'm right there, energy is really hard to grasp onto. I've never, ever, ever been as busy as I am. And I don't think it's because, oh, I'm doing such great stuff and, you know, yay me. But actually, I think what's happening here is people are craving community and connection. And so the amount of asks I get for virtual coffee meetings and, hey, yeah, I want to reconnect and virtual happy hour and let's attend this free workshop to grow. Never in my life has it been harder to stay really focused on where I'm investing my time.
Yeah.
And my tendency, because I get so excited, because I love to learn, because I want to connect, all of those strengths, it would be so easy to pull me back into, and it's been into this time suck.
Yeah.
So in the last month and a half, I've been physically exhausted. And I've started in the last few weeks to ask myself, what's going on? How come I'm feeling like I felt back when I was working 70, 80 hours a week in my corporate gig? Right. And the answer is this, is I haven't stayed true to prioritizing my schedule. I can't be good for me and for my daughter and for my clients if I'm more focused on connecting with everybody than connecting with the right people.
Yeah.
I've had to say no to coffee dates. I've had to say, I love you. Truly, I'm exhausted. I know you are too. Can we connect and schedule this 4 weeks out so I can have intentional time with you on a phone call?
Yeah. And we actually did that. We actually pulled up, and of course now we're meeting on Zoom, not in person. Right. And like, all right, share your screen. Let's look at that calendar. What can you say no to? And we kind of had a mutual no party.
meeting. It was great.
Right. Well, but it's to your point, when we're craving that community and that connection, and also when you are somebody who people look to for energy and connection, to be able to say, I know you need me right now, or you need this energy, but I need to go fill my cup. It is so hard to to kind of shut that down and to mm-hmm. truly fill your own cup up. And it was really, really hard. But boy, I remember it was pretty much the next day after you went through and go and went, A, I'm going to say no to things that don't completely align with my goals.
Yes.
And I think that's really key and something that's hard for people to, who are givers, who are servant hearted mm-hmm. to say, nope, I got to say no to everything that's not aligning with my goals. Cause it feels a little selfish.
Totally. I struggled with that.
Right. But in reality, if you're not at your best, and if you're not aligned with your goals and you're letting, you know, for lack of a better term, you like there's holes in your boat that you're letting other people poke. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do, your boat's going to sink.
Correct.
And then you can't help anybody.
That's exactly right. And you know, I'll say there, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. So here's what's fascinating is when I started to say no, I said no in a couple different ways. And there's a few ways you can do this that I think were really powerful that you showed me. Number one, I actually reached out to about 15 people. I had all these virtual connect calls set up with like, oh my gosh, let's catch up. And I did two things. One, I pushed them out and said, listen, a good mutual friend of ours, Brent, I said, Brent, I'm just slammed this week. I'm exhausted. Is there any way we could move this out a couple weeks? I value you. I want to make sure that we can have a great time connecting. And I'm not trying to say no here, but is there a way that we can move this out a couple weeks? He's like, of course.
Yeah.
The second thing that I did is I turned my hour-long connect calls into half-hour calls. And I got much smarter about just saying, I want this to be the best half-hour we've ever had. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm hopping on just half-hour calls. And I only schedule a couple a week.
Yeah.
So instead of me feeling like I had to fit in 10 a week, which is, I'm not kidding you, what was going on outside of prospecting calls, mm-hmm. doing client work. I mean, I was so tired. I decided, well, if I just do two a week, well, that's actually doable. I can mm-hmm. totally do that. So I made them half hour calls and people were more than fine with that. They said, yeah, no problem. That actually frees my day up a little bit too. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. So now I'm also getting intentional to say, hey, I'm slammed for the next 3 weeks. I've got a ton of client work, or, hey, I've got this going on, that going on, whatever it is. How are you if we pop this out 3 weeks from now? In the meantime, and I say this in an email, what can I be doing to support you?
That's great.
Typically every time
I told you she's an amazing wordsmith, y'all.
And guess what? Every single time they come back and they go, Kate, I totally get it. You're busy. I'm busy. Not a problem if we move this 3 weeks out. P.S. Thank you so much for asking how you can support me. Just keep me in your thoughts, or thanks for always cheering me on. Can't wait to talk to you.
Right on.
Wow. That was easy.
Yeah. 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 And it gives you the time to fulfill your client work to the level, the caliber that you expect for yourself, right? To hold that bar, which is competition and achiever, love to hold mm-hmm. a nice high bar. And it allows you to really serve from that full cup. And it's been fun watching you not only bring in even more client work since you're like, nope,
holy moly, since since I started coaching with you, Alyssa, you gave me pieces of how to leverage your strengths and just did a quarter turn. And the next month my revenue doubled.
Yeah. That's
I was like, oh my God,
that's fun to watch. It's really great. Well, Kate, where can people find you and who is it that should reach out? Because, you know, I know I needed some branding work, to put it lightly. As my brand has emerged and grown, I am a firm believer that you need to take a good hard look at your brand every 2 to 3 years. Yes. I think that's similar to what you recommend as well. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So, and the reason we say, and I even give kind of a broad stroke statement, probably even for sure every 3 to 5 years, but here's the pain points I typically hear from somebody that may need to look at their brand. So if this is you, you may have to go light bulb moment. I might have to look at my messaging here. Mm-hmm. Number one, you're struggling to get the meetings. Meaning you're showing up, you've got your business cards ready, you're going to all these networking events, or you're hopping on the virtual things. And somehow there's a disconnect that when you're introducing yourself or you're talking with the person that you'd love to get to the table, It's not happening. Well, typically our brains would say that's a sales pitch issue. And we start to get into this whole like spiral of what's wrong with my sales, what's wrong with my product. Hold, that's actually a brand pitch issue, because the reality is we have about 20, 30 seconds in the initiation of a conversation to say who we are, how we solve their problem, why we're different from the competition. And if we can't clearly articulate that, we're not going to get them to the table so we can give our sales pitch, so we can organically have that value-added conversation about, here's what I do, tell me your story, et cetera. So my recommendation is, if you're saying to yourself, I'm really struggling to get prospects onto calls, or I'm struggling to get them to the table, it may be that your message just needs to get slightly tweaked. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's pain point number one. Pain point number two, the second thing that I always hear is, oh, we launched a new product. We launched this new service. Gosh, you know, we were previously going after this sector, but now we're working with this size company or this sector. Whenever there is a pivot in product, service, mm-hmm. industry, mm-hmm. ding, ding, ding. Boy, we better take a look at our messaging, because chances are it might be working for one piece of the pie of who we're going after, but not all of them.
Right.
So at the end of the day, if I could sum it up, if you're not hitting your revenue goals, take a look at your brand.
Yeah.
Before you start trying to
dump money into more marketing, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It could be something as simple as, boy, if I nailed my message down and just updated that on the homepage of my website and tweaked my elevator pitch, all of a sudden I'm getting people to the table. Hallelujah. That doesn't cost me $5,000 a month in new marketing.
Right.
Great. So if anybody's listening and that's what they're feeling right now, is they've got maybe a revenue generation thing going on and they're not sure where to start by looking at your message. And if you want to set up time for a free hour-long brand consult, that's what I do with anybody, is we talk through your brand and we look at that. You can simply reach out to me in a couple ways. You can find me on LinkedIn, Kate DiLeo, DiLeo mm-hmm. is the last name. You can shoot me an email, kate@ennoble.com. I'll spell that. That's kate@ennoble.com. That's
two Kate N's, at, two B's, folks.
Exactly. kate@ennoble.com. Or certainly reach out to Alyssa and she knows how to find me.
That's right. That's right. And of course, Kate's contact information will be on the show notes page on the website as well. Kate, thank you so much. This was enlightening. I'm always energized by our conversations together. We are one heck of a team together, I would say.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole other conversation for another day. But you're so brilliant at putting all the pieces together and being giving that overview and then going, and this is how we need to move. And it's so powerful. And I'm so grateful for the work that you've done on my brand. It really has helped me to focus, which is not one of my natural strengths, but is one of in your top 10, to really focus in, hone in, you know, pair it down and go, Alyssa, you know, you really don't need five services. You really just need two plus one group, right? Like, it's just not like, let's make it simple. And it has felt like a weight off my shoulders. So on a personal note, thank you for the work you've done in my brand. Again, folks, kate@ennoble.com, or go to ennoble.com, ennoble.com, and check Kate out. All right, Kate, thank you so much. Until next time, keep being freaking awesome.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you'd leave a review over on iTunes. Every single review means the world to me. To know you're listening and to know you're finding value makes this whole thing worthwhile. And hey, while you're over there, click on subscribe to make sure you're notified of future episodes. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.